Revelation chapter 2. These are actual messages to actual churches. This one being to the church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. We know who that is. That's the Lord himself. Amen. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and is born and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Those are some wonderful qualities in a church and in Christians. They're hard workers. They're patient. They can't endure evil. I mean, they have some wonderful qualities. They're patient. And they have labored and not fainted. But verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. All of your good qualities, all of your good qualities are put in check by the fact that there's a big area of failure, a big area of need. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, that's a very serious message that's given to this church at Ephesus. And I think that it's one that we need to pay attention to also as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in 2019. We use the word revival so much, but I think that we don't really think about what it really means and what God can do in our lives in revival. It's an oft-used word that we talk about in the church and among us. Now, America needs an awakening. There's a difference between an awakening and a revival. America needs an awakening. They need an awakening because they don't know God, and they don't even know that they need God. Many are living their lives like they're asleep and in a stupor, and they need something to awaken them. Some of you remember when the tragedy of 9/11 took place in different places across the country. I know that in New York City it was true, and there are many places where churches filled up with people. Many people were, it was that tragedy that woke them up, and all of the members of the Congress, if you can imagine this now, in the shape that we're in our country, all the members of the Congress came out on the steps of the Capitol and sang God Bless America. And that's not been that long ago. But I don't think you could get the members of Congress today to do anything together. They're so divided and so full of hate and division in our country right now, and certainly wouldn't acknowledge God. And it's a sad predicament that we're in. America needs an awakening. We all know that. But the church needs a revival. And a revival comes, and of course we're going to have some opportunities during the month of August to seek the Lord and to enter into some special revival services. A revival is when it's not just an awakening, but it's when the church comes back to life. It's when the church renews their zeal, renews their passion for God. And that's what the exception that's being made here in this message to the church at Ephesus, telling them, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. That you've forgotten about what it was like when you first came to the Lord. You were first serving God. And you might ought to ask yourself the question or the questions. Do I love the things of God today as much as I have at some other time in my past? Do I love is my heart and my zeal for God and for the Word of God like it has been at some other time in my life? We need to take a close look and evaluate our heart. Has there ever been a time when you were more excited about coming to church, working for God, being involved in the work of the kingdom? Has there been times when you were more enthused, more excited about it than you are now? Well, that's what it's talking about. Your passion, your desire, your hunger, your fire for the things of the Lord. Was there ever a time when you were more willing and more interested in being used of God than you are now? Well, then you need to remember. You need to go back and remember what you were like at that time when you first met the Lord, when you first were walking with the Lord. The love for God, the love for His Word, the love for His house, the love for the people of God. Is it like it was then? If you have left it, a lot of times that verse is quoted wrong, that you have lost your first love, but it doesn't say that. It says you have left it. You've made a conscious decision, and you've made steps away from God, and your decisions have led you away from your zeal and your commitment to the things of the Lord. And so that verse 5 says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen." Remember how far you have moved. It doesn't take very long. You can be saved just a short time and start losing that fire and that zeal and that interest in the things of the Lord. Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. Repent simply means change your mind. It means turn around. It means completely change. Get back to that original desire and hunger for the things of the Lord. We passed out the little cards, and I know that people miss church for a lot of different reasons. But from my perspective, you know, as a pastor, whenever people are missing church services, then I get concerned. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, is it sickness or is there something going on in their life and they have lost their interest in the things of God? Are they losing their zeal for God, their interest in the Word of God? If that's happening, then remember where you were at another time and repent. Turn around and get back to that. Remember, repent, and do your first works. Go back just like it was when you first came to the Lord. You remember the love and the zeal and the hunger for God and the desire for God that you had when you first got saved. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to that zeal and that love for the things of God. So remember and repent and redo. Remember those three words. Remember, repent, and redo. Go back and do the first works all over again. Or else, I will come quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. We know that it's the Lord that in Revelation that is walking among those candlesticks. Each one of those candlesticks lit with the fire, lit with the light of truth, the light of the gospel, the light of the Holy Spirit. And but he says, either remember, repent, redo, or else I'm going to come and I'm going to remove that. Folks, we can't make it without the touch of God. We cannot make it without the fire and the anointing and the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. We should covet that and long for that. So we need to seek the Lord in revival. And I know that when we talk about revival, there's a lot of images that come to mind, what would be happening in a revival. But I want to talk to you a minute about your personal revival. Because you see, revival starts, there may be, 40 of us or so here tonight. But revival starts when you personally determine, I am going to become that person that is set on fire with the things of God. We can look around and say, well, if the preacher was preaching better, the singers were singing better, if this was happening at church, if that was happening, we can look around and find other. And but what we really need to do in revival is look very, very closely at our own heart and our own life. And you see, the church is really just the sum total of all of our individual members. And have you ever thought of it this way? What if my church, everyone was like me? What if everybody prayed as much as I prayed? What if everybody was as faithful as I am? What if everyone did like I do? What kind of a church would we have? That's a pretty sobering thought, isn't it? To consider our own personal responsibility to God and to the church. So revival doesn't happen when we just sit back and wait on. I understand revival is a sovereign work and a move of God, but God comes and works among people that have prepared themselves and are hungering and thirsting after the things of God. And so we are the sum total of each of us individually. And so that means you have a responsibility to revival. I have a responsibility to revival. We are all individually responsible for a move of God here at this location. Amen. So we need to look very closely at ourselves. Amen. We know we don't see ourselves. We have this amazing ability to see ourselves different than we really are. It's easy to deceive yourself. One of the main things about social media is that people put and portray themselves in a certain way. They put the best pictures up. They make their posts on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, at whatever they're using, and it's their best foot forward because they want everybody to think, well, this is who I am. This is the way I am. But God knows how we really are. He knows what we really are. It's true. And so we need to realize that God sees us for what we really are. He sees our life. Sometimes I wonder from this place on the pulpit area, sometimes I wonder if people realize the preacher can see what you're doing. Some people, it seems like people think, he don't see me. He don't see what I'm doing. I'm staring at my phone for the entire sermon, and he don't see me. I'm clipping my fingernails. He doesn't see me. I get up and go out a dozen times. He doesn't see me. Oh, yes, he does. He does. And I mean, we all need to see ourselves for what we are. And God, by His Holy Spirit, can help us to see ourselves, to look into the perfect law of liberty, to take a look at the Word of God, which is like a mirror that helps us to see ourselves for what we really are. And sometimes it is pretty embarrassing when you begin to see yourself for who you really are. You know, we have a tendency to focus on, you know, the bad and the wickedness and the evil. When you talk about revival and people say, well, these are just times when that's not going to happen. It's too wicked. It's too evil. There could never be revival. But do you know, if you read about the history of revivals, revivals have always taken place when things were really bad. Things are really dark. And God then would just come into that dark, hopeless situation. And so our focus doesn't need to be on how bad things are. Our focus needs to be upon Him and upon preparing ourselves and readying our hearts so that we can enter into a great move of God that God wants to send our way. So our focus has to be changed. We have to see ourselves as He sees us, which sometimes is embarrassing. And then we don't need to focus on all the wickedness and the evil that's around us, but we need to focus on Christ, upon the hope that we have in Him and the promises of God. We look to those things instead of to the dark times that that we live in. Remember, revivals have always come in the darkest of times. Even in America's history, God has always sent revival when the needs were desperate, the situation was desperate. And I know we've got a desperate times that we're living in right now, and there's such a need for a move of God. And so we are ripe, we are ready, and God wants to come, and He will come if we'll prepare ourselves and position ourselves to experience revival. So we all have an individual responsibility to this. A man by the name of R.A. Torrey, some of you have heard of him. He was a preacher in the late 1800s, early 1900s, an evangelist. He was a companion minister with D.L. Moody, and traveled in the early 1900s. He went to every English-speaking country in the world and preached the gospel. That's pretty incredible. And he was a revivalist. And this is what he said. He said, "I can give you a prescription that will bring a revival to any church or any community or any city on earth. A prescription." I've got a bunch of them. Prescriptions. The doctor says, "This is what you need. This is the cure. This is your help." But Torrey said, "I've got a prescription. It's tried and true." He said, "Everywhere that I've went that people have followed this prescription, there has been a revival that has followed." Now that's something to pay attention to. Amen. He said, first, 3 points to Torrey's prescription. He says, first, let a few Christians, they need not be many, get thoroughly right with God themselves. He said, this is the prime essential. If this is not done, the rest that I am to say will come to nothing. So let just a group of believers get thoroughly right with God. Just get to that place that you have completely yielded yourself, sold out to the promise of God and to the plan of God, and that you have completely made everything right with the Lord. He said, it doesn't have to be a big group. It can be a group like that we've got here tonight. This group right here of 38 or 40, however many are here in this service. What if everybody here determined, I am going to individually, I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to get my heart in right relationship with the Lord. I'm not going to let anything get in the way. I want to pursue the things of God. I want to make sure there's nothing in my life that doesn't honor the Lord. And I'm going to be a part of that group. He said, then second, let that same group bind themselves together to pray for revival until God opens the heavens and comes down. That same group of people that have made themselves thoroughly right with God, bind themselves together to pray, to call upon the Lord for revival. Third, let them put themselves at the disposal of God for Him to use as He sees fit in winning others to Jesus Christ. It's a pretty simple prescription. But he says, everywhere I have went, he preached to every English-speaking country in the world. And everywhere that he went, that he prescribed this to them, revival followed. God moved. God worked. And so, why not? Why not? Why not realize that God has some wonderful, great things He wants to do? And even in this coming month of August, it could really be a time that we could enter in to a great move of God, a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. And none of us would ever say that we don't want it or we don't need it. Oh, how desperately we need God to move in our behalf. How we need Him to move in each individual family, home, marriage, among our children, among our young people, all of our families. Oh, the need is so desperate. It's so overwhelmingly great. And people are so far removed from God and from the will of God. But in a dark, dark time, God wants to visit his people. He wants to visit the church. He wants to move in the church and cause us to return to our first love, cause us to get back to our commitments to God, to our love for the things of God, and not allow anything to hinder us or keep us from being what God has called us to be. Amen. Amen. That's all. Tori said, that's all you have to do. And he said, this is sure to bring revival to any church, any community, a prescription given all over the world that every one of us can follow. Get thoroughly right with God. Secondly, bind together to pray. Thirdly, make yourself completely available to God. It's pretty simple, isn't it? But its simplicity is powerful if we take hold of this and really call upon the name of the Lord. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Repent and redo your first works. Go back and allow the Lord to restore you and to rebuild what was done in your life in the past. Greater things that he wants to do if we'll make ourselves available to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's believe God. Even throughout this month of August, coming month, that God would pour his spirit out in a mighty way. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Amen. When the church begins to pray for revival, it starts with a personal look at our own lives. Amen. Individually. The church is made up of all of us individually. And so let's accept that responsibility. Let's call upon the Lord. It's me, Lord. It's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me, Lord. I'm the one that needs to make a renewed dedication. I need to commit myself to you, Lord. And let's trust him. Amen. To move mightily. Amen. Let's pray together about this tonight. Father, oh God, stir our hearts. Stir our hearts. Lord, right here in this group, right here, Lord, I know that you can do mighty things through this Wednesday night group that's gathered here tonight. Speak to our hearts. Deal with us, Lord, about our personal responsibility, Lord, to revival. Lord, and instead of looking into others, blaming others or other circumstances, Lord, just to look to ourselves. And Lord, make ourselves right with you, thoroughly right with you, Lord. Lord, to get in right standing with you and remove all the things, Lord, that are not Christ-honoring. Lord, remove them and put you first in our life. And then bind together as a church to pray, to call upon the Lord, to seek your face, Lord, to pray until we see you move, to pray until we see the mighty hand of God at work, oh Lord. Lord, it's yet to be seen what you can do through a group like this group right here tonight. If we'll just call upon your name, if we'll just seek your face, if we'll make ourselves right with you, Lord, and then make ourselves available to you, Lord. Oh God, forgive us of our selfishness. Forgive us, Lord, of our laziness. Forgive us, Lord, of our attitude that doesn't really care. Oh, Lord, awaken us, Lord, to our needs. Lord, to see ourselves as you see us. Lord, in Jesus' name, stir up your people. Stir up your church. Send revival, Lord. In this month of August, Lord, that it would be a time, Lord, of real pursuing the presence of God, pursuing the things of God. Oh, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to give victories, to move mightily and give victories, Lord, answers to prayer, and a outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And even this coming weekend, Lord, do a mighty work. Do a mighty work, Lord, among children and youth and every one of us, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, and start this move of God in all of our hearts, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know, some of you have been in meetings before.